Hey everyone, my name is Brian Aaron.
And my name is Angela Aaron.
So we are the Aarons. And our goal is to be real and to show pieces of our past that tell about our future. To reveal things, to unearth things that maybe we don't even know that exist right now as we talk through it. But it's to help be the lighthouse that shines the light on uncertainty, on doubt that may have you stuck in a place and you don't see a way out. So our goal is to do a series of B's, the biblical B's. And the first one we're talking about is be still.
Okay, so be still is terrifying. Can we just for 1 second say that? Be still is terrifying because for me personally, I am a perfectionist and I want things to go perfect. And so when I hold, I hold myself to a really high standard. So I'm always on the go and I'm always trying to learn new things and be the best at what I can be. So being still to me, my whole life kind of felt like a prison. Like if I'm supposed to be still, then I have to sit and like as if I'm a child in timeout. And so the thought of being still has always been super terrifying to me because
definitely,
if I'm still, then I'm thinking and I'm dealing with pain and I'm processing.
You're left to your own devices.
Yes, exactly. Left to my own devices, which, the mind is such a powerful thing that could be dangerous. So my whole life, I was never really still and would make myself super busy so that I didn't have to be still because didn't even realize I was dealing with so much pain, right? So be still really started in my life in 2020, which a lot of us had to be still in the pandemic, and we had to learn what that meant. But for me personally, like I was just struggling with so many things and so much past hurt. So when I was 14, I lost my mom to breast cancer. And so, at 14, it's such a crazy age of like, you need your mom and you need your stability and you need all the things, which that was gone. And so I was like, okay, well, that just puts me into a hyper mode of now I really can't be still. I gotta go. Like I gotta make this work. I don't have a mom anymore. And, my dad went through a really rough time and he wasn't the same. And so really I didn't have either one of my parents. And so I was just kind of felt like I was on my own and I needed to take control of my life and I needed to keep going. And there was no time to be still because if I was still, then I would have to face all that pain and all that trauma and all that fear that had sunk in. So I started on this path of running, running this race of how fast can I get stuff done, at what high efficiency, at perfection, because I thought my mom was perfect and just that I just kept running. And when I met Brian, my life started to change for the better, obviously, but still took such a long time. Like we've been married for 13 years. And so just constantly running, right? And so then 2020 hit, and I feel like God kind of put us all in a timeout. Like we all just had to sit down and figure out what still means. And so we were kind of talking about this morning in our kitchen. So one of the things I love the most about Brian is we have these crazy organic conversations in our kitchen or, over coffee or on the back porch or whatever, where we were just talking about what does be still mean?
Yes.
So just like not just being still, but what does being still in the Lord mean? Because there's a difference, right?
Yeah, there's definitely a difference. So, what we were talking about is, being still is – you know, in the world's view is, you know, if you're slow, you're dead. Mm. You know, if you stop moving, somebody's going to move past you. It's a competition game. With God, it's you have to be still to hear him. Mm. Only when you stop and you, you know, take everything away, remove all the distractions, can you actually hear what God is trying to talk to you about and having that relationship with him. You know, because it's not something that we can dip in and dip out of. Mm. It's something that we have to continuously come to the well and listen and take to heart what he has to say. So the visual that we had was, you know, the world's view of being still is like a prison.
Mm. Yeah.
You know, it's, you're locked in. You know, you don't have hope. You don't see a way out. Being still with God is, you know, like entering the temple.
Mm.
You know, we don't have the formalities. You know, we don't have to dress a certain way. We don't have to have some of the, like I said, the formalities that, you know, that the Israelites did. We can come to God anytime. So our be still, our landscape changes,
mm-hmm.
but God doesn't. So yeah. In that, we get to talk to him through everything.
Yeah.
And was there anything else you were wanting to say with be still before we jump into other things?
Just, like, I just want to speak to, like, there's probably somebody out there that doesn't even know who God is yet.
Mm-hmm.
And to be honest with you, I don't think I even knew who God was until probably 4 years ago, and I'm 41, y'all. So that's sad to say and hard to say because I grew up in a Christian home. And I, you know, my mom and dad, we were at church every Sunday, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. And, you know, we talked about God. We did devotionals with my mom. And my grandfather was a Southern Baptist missionary, and they lived all over the world. And so, you know, God was the foundation in our family, yet I had no idea who God is until I was still.
Mm-hmm.
I had no idea who God really was until he sat me down and he revealed himself to me. But I'm telling you, he's not going to reveal himself to you in the crazy of the world. He's not going to reveal himself to you in the chaos that's around you. He's not going to reveal himself to you in the tornadoes that are spiraling in your brain. He will reveal himself to you when you are still, when you are fully surrendered, when you are quiet, and you allow him into your space.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's always around. So he's always allowing you into his space. But a lot of times we just block that. Because we're so afraid of what that really means. We're so afraid of our feelings. We're so afraid of the chaos that's spinning around us. And I just kept getting this visual of tornadoes. Like, I am a high anxiety, was. Let me fix that. I was a high anxiety person. And I grew up that way. Like, I just kind of came out anxious, I guess. And so, like, even as a kid, like sitting next to my dad, like, I can remember a storm would come, and just the thought of a storm, right? Like, just a thunderstorm in the distance, like, could be on the radar for a Tuesday next week. And I would just be so fearful, and I would have to go get his giant black flashlight and just be prepared for the storm because I just had to control something. Well, okay, y'all, you don't control anything in this world. Like, let's just be clear about that. You do not control anything in this world. And if there's one thing that I was afraid of the most, it's the weather, because I knew for sure there's no way I can control that.
Mm-hmm.
I can't control the weather and what's happening around me. And so that was one of my biggest fears. And so I just, this visual of tornadoes and like the chaos that comes around that, yet in the center of a hurricane or in the eye of a storm, there is peace and mm-hmm. there is calm and there is quiet. And in the center of a tornado, I've been in the middle of a tornado swirling around my house before, and it sounds like a train blowing at you. But in the center of that, there is peace and calm before it hits. And that is where God is.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all, that is where God meets you. And that is when he changes you the most. And when he meets you where you are, and he shows you who he is so that he can fix and heal and redeem and mend what's broken. And so being still is scary because the enemy doesn't want you to be still. Because if you're still and you allow God to heal what's broken, then he has no place. Mm-hmm. And so it's that's just a crazy cycle that came into my mind this morning.
Yeah. So, and I want to take it back to, you know, being still, being a prison, and how you mentioned being a perfectionist, because I was a perfectionist too. However, I was a perfectionist in prison because I didn't allow myself to actually do anything until I was perfect at it for the fear that if I didn't do it perfectly, that I was going to fail. You know, it wasn't until, the last 4 years and really, you know, kind of going to, you know, conferences and different things is that understanding that, you know, failure's temporary. Failure's a lesson. You know, you learn from it. So if you're depriving yourself of lessons and ways to move forward, if you don't allow yourself to fail. So I would I would sit in it to the point where the moment would pass. It didn't matter if I was perfect at this thing because that thing had already moved past me. So I was sitting there and then I would get to the point where I would stuff my voice down.
Wow.
Because if you let the moment pass and, you know, it's the same thing, like you're in a conversation and you don't jump in, then the moment's passed, the conversation's moved on, and you're talking about something that they were talking about 30 minutes ago. And really then you're just kind of like an obstacle as opposed to, you know, the vehicle moving down the road for the conversation.
Well, that's
so
good.
I got to the point where, you know, I'm trying to be perfect. I'm stunting my growth. I'm not allowing myself to move forward. And then thinking it's the people around me. When they were moving at their pace, I hadn't identified what my pace is. So I think that's where we come to, is like we can be our own worst enemy. You know, we can look at ourselves in the mirror and see things and then point to everyone around you, point to your environment. But really, you have to look at yourself. What am I doing or not doing that's keeping me from what God has called me to do, has set me apart for, you know, has ordained me in ways that we discount? That's where I was, because I, at 18, I honestly can feel now that God called me into the ministry. And I pulled a Moses. You know, I was, no, I can't speak. I'm not good. But I am good at computers, God. So if you could just bless me in computers, then I know that I could give it all back to you. I could find a way to, you know, to show you, to share you as I go through my, you know, corporate career. And it wasn't until 2020 that when I was, you know, told to work from home, it was never, you know, Angie and I talked about it, and it was always a dream of having more time and working from home. But then it became a reality in one fell swoop, because you're going to the office 5 days a week, and then boom, you're not only working from home, but you're essentially locked in home. So there were moments where it felt like a prison, not because, you know, I was with Angie and the kids. We have two kids, by the way. Not because of who was with me, but because the...
Thank you for clarifying that.
Yeah.
Thank you.
That's knew, nice. Thank I knew you. Where it was going. I knew what it sounded like, so...
Thank you for clarifying. We are not a prison. Thank you.
So it was a joy to be with my family, but, you know, Angie and I had both been, you know, striving. We were on goals. We were... At one point, we were competing with each other as far as who could work better, who could work more. So then we get to the point where
he's
it's
calling us out, y'all. Here we go.
We got to start out right, you know.
Oh my goodness.
So we were thrust into this situation where, you know, our home and our work combined, and it tested us.
Yeah.
You know,
for sure.
but it brought out things that we had been holding on to. mm-hmm. in a good way.
Yeah.
You know, it's, I'm weird. We're just going to put it there. Again, got to start out right. So sword making, you know, you can't have the sword completely pure. You have to have the impurities to make the sword stronger. So so in that process of being home, it brought up those impurities, but it helped us become stronger as a couple.
Amen.
And as a family.
Amen.
So it coupled with, you know, men's programs and, you know, a rooted program that really brought us together and showed us the power of being on the same page, you know, being on God's page together.
Mm.
So,
yeah, that's so true. It's funny, like these past 4 years have really been a boot camp, like, and so sitting here next to you, doing this is surreal because like when we met, you were so shy, you wouldn't even order food in a drive-thru.
Nope.
Because you were so introverted and shy and had been quiet for so long. And I had been trying to be unquiet for so long that it just, and then I just kind of picked up your slack, right? And, yeah. and that kind of hindered you too, because it was you being quiet, me being overly loud at times, and just, God has brought us so far. Like, but for real, 4 year boot camp almost of just constantly tearing us, you know, not tearing us, but just what's the word? Like refining us, right? Mm-hmm. Like just showing us what will be. And then just allowing God to fix what I have messed up myself, because let's just be real. That was on me. Mm-hmm. but one of the things that stands out to me the most is obviously God's word, right? Like to know who God is and to know what he wants for you, you have to read the word. Like you have to read the word, but not only read it, you have to put it into action, right? So if you want to know who God is, like read the Bible, guys. It's a good one. It's a good book. And there's a lot of books, actually. But it's really powerful. And if you let it sink in and you let it really change you, permeate, if you will. There's an SAT word. If you let it change you and let the words wash over you. And it's not just words on a page. Like they're alive and they are... God's point of the Bible is to refine you and to change you. Mm-hmm. So Psalms 46:10, and this is from the Passion Translation. So if you go on the Bible app, there's a million different translations. Okay, that's not accurate. It's not a million, but there's a lot of different translations.
Probably close to a
million. So many different translations. And so you can, you know, highlight a verse and then hit compare and see all the different versions. So we do that a lot. Brian and I love to compare versions and just kind of talk through what each one says and what we're doing and how it pertains to it. So today we were talking about Psalm 46:10, which really is talking about be still, right? Mm-hmm. Just be still. So in the Passion Translation, it says, surrender your anxiety. Be still and realize that I am God. I am God above all the nations, and I am exalted throughout the whole earth. So for me, surrender your anxiety is what stands out to me the most in that version, because several of them just say, you know, be still and know that I am God. But surrender your anxiety to me is huge, because that is what has held me back from him for all these years. So one thing that I also love about my husband is he asks hard questions. So the questions that are like, ooh, that's gross. I don't want to process that question right now. And he did that to me this morning, y'all, by the way. Mm. What was the question that you asked me this morning about the car?
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, you know, I always hear Jesus take the wheel. But in this case, it was... what amount of junk do you still have in the front seat that God has to clear out to be able to sit down?
Gross. That's a gross question. Ugh. Because that's a self-examination question of what junk do I still have in the way? And y'all, for years, my anxiety has been my junk. That is junk. That is not truth. God did not create you to be anxious. Mm-mm. God created you to be peaceful and to live in a peace within Him that surpasses all understanding, that goes above all understanding. Your mind cannot even comprehend the amount of peace that God wants you to feel and the amount of peace that God can help you feel.
Right.
So these years of studying God's word and carving out pain and sitting in my feelings and sitting on my back porch, drinking coffee and crying my eyes out to the point where I didn't think I had any tears left, writing in my journal and, you know, sending it all down and not knowing what in the world was coming next, I cannot express to you the amount of peace that comes on the other side of that. Like, there is so much peace when you surrender to the Lord. And as a control freak sitting here talking to you right now, and as a person that strives for perfection, I promise you, peace is available. Peace is for you. Peace is attainable. Peace is God. And He is with you. He is always with you. He is for you. And He is bigger than your junk, y'all. He's bigger than the junk in your front seat, which I don't like that question because I still have to, like, I've come so far, but I still have so far to go. Like, it's a journey. It's a lifetime journey that He is always changing. So there's always going to be junk, y'all. Mm-hmm. So you need people in your life like Brian over here who ask you questions like, what's the junk in your trunk? Or what's the junk in your front seat? What's the junk in your life? Like, you need to process these things. And you need to be still in the Lord and know that that is not how He designed you.
Right. And for me, I believe that my junk for a long time was indecisiveness. Mm. You know, it was, let's play out every scenario of how this will go before I do it. The problem is, number one, that takes an incredible amount of time and effort to come up with all those things. It's never what you think it's going to be. It never happens like you think it's going to happen. And what you turn into this giant mountain is really for somebody else, maybe a pebble. Mm. So you're focused on this one thing this entire time, you know, days. And you're like, I don't know how this is going to go, you know, and it could be you're just sitting there and, you know, not to downplay it, but it's breakfast. You could be sitting there for days just torn up about what you're going to have for breakfast, and somebody could pick that in 2 seconds.
Mm, yes.
So something as small as that, but we turn so many situations that could be tiny into huge things.
Mm.
Anxiety is a real thing, not downplaying anxiety.
Absolutely not.
I'm just saying we turn into ourselves to find answers when really what we need to be doing is talking to God so that He can light the way.
Yeah.
So that brings me into 2 Timothy 1:7. Mm. This has been something that I have kind of held in my heart. Not kind of. I have held in my heart for the past probably 3 years.
Mm.
So it's one where I had questions that I never sought the answers to.
Mm.
You know, it was about what it means to be a man. You know, how I truly should be leading my family as opposed to sitting back and causing my wife to have double the load.
Mm.
What it meant to truly be a biblical man. And it wasn't until I was comfortable in the uncomfortable asking those questions that I realized that other people had the same questions. Other people had the same concerns and worries. And as you unpack all those, then you realize, okay, some of this stuff is smaller than what I thought.
Yeah.
Some of this stuff is just part of growing up, becoming a man. Then you seek counsel from other people.
Yeah.
And it's living and walking 2 Timothy 1:7.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In the Passion Translation.
Again. He's so good.
So, as Angie said, we look at different versions. This is the only version that I've seen, that I've come across right now, that words it this way. And it says, again, 2 Timothy 1:7, "For God will not give you the spirit of fear, but the Holy Spirit, who gives you mighty power, love, and self-control."
Yeah.
There's that word, and.
And.
So God has spoken to me that he is the God of and. Mm. He is not the God of or. He is not the God of but. He is not the God of if. He is the God of and. Mm. So he gives us not just any spirit. You know, he didn't have one just sitting around. He gave us the Holy Spirit. Mm. And with the Holy Spirit, we have mighty power.
Yeah.
We have the mightiest power in the world. Because it's not of this world.
Amen.
So we have the same power that all of, you know, our heroic prophets, God gives us the same power. Mm. And he gives us love.
And.
And. And he gives us self-control.
Yeah.
To not be swayed, to not be conformed to the ways of this world.
That's good.
So. Again, so it's good. Not the fact that we have rules and we have regulations on, oh, how to not do things. God surrounds us. He empowers us. He encourages us. And he gives us control to not dive into those temptations, to not dive into situations that are only going to hurt us.
That's so good.
God can use us through those situations, and he can help us learn.
Hmm. That's so good. Oh my gosh. Mm. That is so good. There's a group of people that we went through Rooted with. Apparently I say so good a lot. So I do hear that now. I'm hearing myself say that is so good. So that's for y'all out there. Yeah. So just exactly what you said, God is the God of and. And just, he's taught us that so much over the past couple of years. Like, he's the God of and. Mm. Like, we can homeschool our kids. And
yes,
still be in ministry. You can work full time in a corporate setting and lead a Bible study to them on Monday mornings. You can, you know, work in a church and work outside of the church. Like, I work here at TCAL at this church that we're a part of, but we are the church. Like, we are the church, and we can go out into the community and be the church out there. Because that's where it's needed,
yes.
Right? So God is the God of and there's so much chaos happening around us. There are storms every single day. There are storms, not just physical, not just real storms with the weather, but there are storms in your mind and storms in your heart and storms that you're walking through with your family and with your friends and with your groups and with your, you know, everybody says get in a group. Well, you get in a group and you're going to have a storm, y'all. It just is what it is. There's going to be people, because there's people and there's feelings and there's life and there's things working against you so that that doesn't work. And there's, you know, you get a job and there's going to be a storm because it's, you know, hard, or you got to learn something new or whatever. There's storms around you. But as my good friend Robbie reminded me, Isaiah 43:2 says, and again, the Passion Translation, I mean, y'all, let's go with passion today. When you pass through the deep, stormy sea, you can count on me to be there with you. When you pass through raging rivers, you will not drown. When you walk through persecution like fiery flames, you will not be burned. The flames will not harm you. Y'all, that is the peace of the Lord. That is the peace of the Lord. You can walk into that fire, and even if God chooses to not get you out of it, he's with you in it. That's the even if kind of faith of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in Daniel 3, which is my favorite story.
Yes.
I love it. Go read it, Daniel chapter 3. It's amazing. That's the even if kind of faith that we have to have walking through this life. Even if that storm comes, even if that tornado comes that I can't control, even if I'm sitting in the middle of my house and it's all torn down, even if God is with me in that. And there, the last time a big storm came through this area, it seems like we moved to this neighborhood and all the weather just kind of culminates here, y'all. Okay. So like when we moved here, this is Johnson County. So when we moved here, like it's just like the north and the south, the storms all come together and they kind of culminate over Angela Aaron's house. So that's just kind of what happens, which is like, that's like my biggest fear. So we've gone through some storms, y'all.
Yeah.
Yeah. Our house is still standing. We are still standing by the grace of God. And he, like, the last storm that came through, it was crazy wicked, right? Like, there's a tornado going down 287 towards 67, which is super close to our house. And I'm standing there. And, y'all, this person who used to be terrified of storms, I went and opened the door to my back porch. And my kids are in the closet because, you know, there's tornadoes.
The person would yell at me for opening the door.
Yeah. Like, I would be like, get in here, get your flashlight, get your helmet on, like, whatever you need, right? Like, I'm freaking out. But my kids are in the closet. He's in the closet with the kids this time. And I walk outside. I walk outside in the middle of the storm because God asked me to. Because I was quiet long enough to hear his voice. And he said, come outside. And so I open my back porch door. And I'm standing there. And it's raining. And it's crazy. And the winds are swirling. And there's a tornado literally not 5 miles from my house. Less than a mile from my house. Mm-hmm. And he is with me in that. And he says, I am here. I am with you and you are safe. And that was the most crazy experience of my life. Like when I tell y'all, I was terrified. Like anxiety was a huge part of my life. I'm talking stomach issues and throwing up and tears and fear and just, you know, when I lived in an apartment by myself, just I lived on the third floor and just constantly thinking of how I'm going to survive a storm. How am I going to do this? Where am I going to go? Just constant fear. So for him to call me out and to go out and reveal to me how peaceful that you can feel in the middle of a storm, there is no other reason but the Lord, y'all.
Mm-hmm.
There is no other way that would have happened except for me to be able to be still long enough to hear his voice, to go out there in faith and trust he is who he says he is. And to feel his peace that I don't understand. And I still don't understand it to this day because, you know, just because I'm not the same anxious person I was before doesn't mean I don't still have anxiety. Because yesterday I had anxiety about my kid getting his tooth pulled at the dentist. So
right.
There's anxiety that still happens. Yet now I know how to fight it. Now I know that God is with me
mm-hmm.
and God is for me. And I can feel his peace even in the midst of all the crazy storm around me. So for that, I am eternally grateful, and I hope and pray for anybody that's listening today, whether it's just one person or not, that you feel that peace at some point in your life and that you can be still and surrender to God.
Amen. Now, I love in that passage how it says that you can count on me to be there with you. You know, it's not that, hey, I'm a phone call away. You know, you call up a buddy. Yeah, you know, I got a few things to do. I'll be there in about 20 minutes and 45 minutes later. No, it's you can count on me to be there with you. He walks through every situation with us. He doesn't depart from us. He doesn't turn his eyes away from us. Mm-hmm. He is always there. You know, you have that visual of, you know, God bending down,
mm-hmm.
waiting for that hug, waiting for you to run into his arms. You know, he is our protector.
Mm.
He is our healer. He is our guide. He is, you know, our fortress. Mm. So it's when we do the departing, when we do the stepping away, that we remove ourselves from that.
Mm.
So, you know, just take heart in the fact that God is with you, that he does not change, that he does not step away. His love is forever. His love is eternal. You know, and you look at this when it's talking about you will walk through persecution like fiery flames.
Yeah.
And just imagine, just let that sink in, like the amount of persecution that you feel that it's like the flames are lapping up at you.
Yeah.
Like they're ready to swallow you. And yeah, again, I mean, that persecution could be you. Because you're allowing that anxiety, you're allowing those feelings, you're allowing your situation to crowd out God, you know, to make it seem like there's so many things between you and God.
Yeah.
But if we're still, if we allow ourselves to be still, we see that he's right there with us.
Yeah.
We see that he's cheering us on, that he is championing us to move forward.
Yeah.
To live the life that he has called us to.
Yeah.
And we can't hear that unless we are still.
Amen. That's so good. So good. Well, this is fun.
Yeah.
Like, this has been super fun. Yeah. We have so much more to talk about. We could talk for days and days and days. I'm excited for this journey with you. I'm excited to just talk about what God has taught us, and to talk about what I wish someone had said to me when my mom died, mm-hmm. and to just allow the Lord to continue to fix it and heal and to redeem and to rest in his peace and to continue to be still with you. So yeah. I'm excited. This has been good.
Yeah, it's been amazing. I'm excited to see what God's going to do in the future. Just know that God wants a relationship with you.
Yeah. Yeah. So find time today to be still, even if it's 1 minute. Set a timer on your phone. Do whatever you need to do. Be still and start small. It's okay to start small, right? Like, you don't have to have a 2-hour quiet time every morning. That's not the goal. The goal is just to be still. So whatever that looks like for you, 1 minute, 30 seconds, start small and then build up
to your car on your lunch break, whatever you need to do.
Just find your space, find your go to your closet, lock yourself in a closet, do what you got to do. Sit in the shower, sit, whatever it is. Just be still and wait on the Lord, because he's with you. He's for you. He has something to say to you, and he is listening, and he will speak to you if you are quiet enough to hear him. So that's our prayer for you today, is to just be still in the Lord. And to just start something new with being still.
Just be still.
Amen. Have a good day, y'all.